Shock the System. Welcome to Dank Discussions with me, Calican CEO Maynard Breslow. In each episode, you'll learn from the trailblazers, leaders, entrepreneurs, and influencers in the ever-moving, ever-growing cannabis industry. Hey everybody, welcome to Dank Discussions. Today we're joined by Raymond Davis. Raymond is the owner of Flora Botanicals. Not only that, but she's also life partner, mom, and we're going to talk about all that fun stuff as well and why that's important here. So thanks for joining us today, Raymond.
Thank you for having me, Maynard.
All right, it's my pleasure. You know, it's I'll always love because, you know, I always, you know, with my guests that I have on, I always want to hear from their mouth what they want to be called, what's the title, you know, and you get people who have a long list and great resumes, but you put mom, you put life partner, and I love that, you know, like, it's, you know, I think sometimes we forget, it's like, what's the most important title? These are the most important titles, you know?
Well, it's kind of the birth of why we got into the industry was basically being a life partner and seeing a struggle that my husband was going through and just having to understand that this can't be the only options, that different medications cannot be the only options. And so when you have a loved one, you can't function in any other part of your life when you can't sleep. And when you're worried about your spouse, nothing else works. You can't be a better parent and you can't be a good employee. You can't really function. So in my mind, yeah, that's my number one. I gotta do that first, and I gotta raise my kids first, and then, you know, everything else can 100%, flow.
100%. I love that. You know, I think, yep. You know, we'll get into your story here in just a minute. You know, because, sure. You know, unfortunately, that's kind of the driving force sometimes for people to get in the industry. But I do want to start off with the basics. Let our listeners know where you're located today.
We are in Burney, Texas. We are outside of San Antonio in the Hill Country. We have our brick and mortar store on Main Street, 1109 South Main in Burney. And we've been open about 7 months.
Awesome. Awesome. And, you know, I talk to people all over the place. You know, we're based out of LA and Israel, and people are super receptive. And then talk to people in Illinois, just got recreational, and they're having parties over there. And you know, talk to people in Indiana, not so much of a party. And people in Alabama and Georgia. And I want to hear, how's it going in Texas, in Burney, Texas? What's the reception like there?
You know, it's slow and steady. It's slow and steady. And I think the biggest thing is everyone that comes through, you know, walks through our doors, honestly, I think are so grateful for the opportunity to try something that is not harmful to them, that they are starting to open their minds a lot more. They spend more time convincing themselves, though, while they're talking, rather than convincing me. Oh. They kind of, you know, they want to be educated about it. It's still a lot of education here in Texas, and here in this smaller town, you know, there's still a lot of education going on, which is awesome. And I love it. And I love the challenging questions. I get a ton of challenging questions. We have a much older community, but you know, it's really funny because we get all ages. We get all ages walking through. And it's very refreshing to hear the comments and to see the positive notes around it. And ultimately, of course, that's what I hear is the positive notes. And then I think in between on the other side of the spectrum, I think it's those people who are not educated in it and who haven't taken the time to learn about it, and certainly not been patient enough to try it. It's you know, it's not a quick fix. It's not just this easy, quick thing. And I think that's the tough part about getting people to do that, to try that, and to really have an open mind to see if it would work. So far, so good. It's slow and steady. We'll say slow and steady.
Slow and steady is good. You know, progress over perfection, you know.
Right.
And, you know, I've lived in Texas. I lived in Dallas, not San Antonio. But I think, you know, personally, Texas gets a bad rap, obviously a little bit more conservative state than California is, so different things. But what I found is people are very open-minded in Texas, and people are, you know, even when I hear about, you know, people in the hemp space, or, you know, I know there's a lot of cultivation now going on over there as well, whereas maybe there isn't in other states around there. But you also mentioned, you know, about the you know, the older crowd, which I'm also glad is people are, you said it's older crowd in that city in Bernie, and I think that's a great thing, honestly, because I think they are, you know, I hate to say demographic, but, you know, it's, they're in a place in life where they could really benefit from it, and a lot of time they don't even know about it, right? So
correct.
It's very good. So now, you know, you, Bernie, Texas, CBD store, retail store, mom, this, that, you know, life partner. Now take me all the way back, you know, tell me, you know, how this came about, how you, you know, transitioned from your, what you're doing before, what you're doing before, and, you know, your story, obviously your personal story there with your family, and how you came into having a retail store.
Well, we, so it all started back in 19, I'm kidding. I met my husband, I guess it's 24 years now. He had been in a motorcycle accident back in 1990. So he is a T6 paraplegic, and hasn't walked. He's been sitting in a chair now for 30 years. Quite amazing. He was 24, wrecked on his motorcycle during his third semester at LSU Law School in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Wow. And I met him about 3 years after his accident. We got married, had five kids, kind of, you know, beat all the odds of having children. He continued to practice law. He's a trial attorney and was very driven by, during law school, when he wrecked, he had an issue with the insurance company not wanting to reimburse him for his wheelchair.
Wow.
And the basic, I think the ending statement was...
How many people are insurance, you know, fans, you know?
Yeah. I think it went something like this. He called and said, can you reimburse for my chair? They said, no. And he said, but you reimburse anything necessary for life. And they said, yes, but technically you could lay in a bed and still live, even though you can't walk. So a wheelchair isn't a quote unquote necessity. So that was enough for him. And that's been his driving force for the law
firm.
Oh, that fire. That's all it takes. And he ran with that. He takes incredibly good care of himself. He's a huge athlete. He's a hand cycler. He rides 500 miles across Colorado every year and ride the Rockies. With his hands, climbs like two mountain passes a day. He's a madman. He skydives, hunts, fish, snow skis. He's an unbelievable mono skier. And he's just really, really takes really good care of himself, lifts weights and does everything else. About 5 years ago, he developed a leg spasm. It's called clonus, and it's ankle clonus, and it's common for persons with spinal cord injuries post-injury. They're not exactly sure how it comes about. It's neurological and probably physical, a little bit of, you know, physiologics there. But the ankle clonus, it's pretty bizarre. His is called nocturnal ankle clonus, and it's basically like as if you would have a Charlie horse every 8 seconds for 6 hours straight from the second you laid down on the bed to the morning. So it started about 5 years ago, and it was just, the sleep deprivation was maddening. It just completely maddening. And when you can't sleep, you really, you can't function. And, you know, you kind of do it the first few months, and you know, we tried different things. We did the stretches. We did the stim machine. He has an FES bike, which is the electrodes on his legs that pedal. His muscles actually pedal the bicycle.
Wow.
We've done creams, lotions, and then, of course, we finally end up at the pain management doctor, which he, you know, hardly ever sees a physician. He takes one medication a day, and that's for his bladder. It's not for anything else. And her suggestions were to put a baclofen pump in his back, which is basically putting a little tube that drips medication into his spinal cord 24 hours a day, which was just not an option. He's an active guy. He's a young guy. He's not about to have a medical device implanted in him that he has to deal with. Another option was to slice the nerves in the back of his legs. And that certainly wasn't, you can imagine the complications that could possibly happen from that. And the last thing was narcotics. And he did try a few narcotics, a few antispasmodics, and they were just
the side effects
from those were 10 times worse almost than the spasms. Uh-huh. And I would completely bore you to tell you all the different things that happen in between that. And anyone with a spinal cord injury knows exactly what I'm talking about. But all of those things that I just mentioned completely changes a way of life. It changes the way he would transfer in and out of his wheelchair, transfer in and out of his pickup truck, transfer in and out of his bicycle. It changes everything. And it's just not an option. I can't tell you how much not an option those things are. And then to have to try and take a narcotic and then wake up. And he's a full-time attorney. I mean, he can't wake up and be there for his clients being fog-headed or groggy or anything like that. So that wasn't an option. Well, we have a buddy in Fort Collins, Colorado, that Robert has been friends for a long time. Robert is on the board of an adaptive sports program out of Crested Butte, Colorado, called Adaptive Sports. And he's on the board. It promotes winter and summer sports for all persons with all levels of disabilities or abilities. And Steve, his buddy, is also in a wheelchair. And Steve actually has a dispensary in Fort Collins, Colorado.
Marijuana dispensary?
Yes, correct. And Robert kind of talked to him about, man, you know, have you ever experienced this clonus? And this is what I'm trying to figure out, but I can't use THC. I live in Texas and it's illegal in Texas, number one. Number two, and that's when Steve said, man, have you ever tried CBD? This is 5 years ago. Uh-huh. And Robert said, no. Of course, he started to do the research, and like any good attorney, he can research better than anyone I know on the planet. And he found some reputable products and tried it, and it worked. It calmed his spasms enough for him to get these big, huge spaces of sleep, which he was needing so, so badly. It had been a good year and a half of sleep deprivation. So you can imagine anything, him just being able to sleep for a 4 hour stretch was huge. It was life changing. And that's pretty much when he started writing down what product he tried, how much he tried. And he really, he did it by the book. We started reading books on it. We started reading more articles. We started doing as much research as we could. Our buddy was a huge help in Colorado and put us in contact with the right people. We just continued to dig and dig, and we weren't satisfied with certain things that we were finding as far as some of the products were great products. There's great products out there. There really is. But there's a lot of subpar products out there.
Oh, yeah.
And for us specifically,
this was 5 years ago, even. And I mean, now it's the same thing. You find even
exactly
not probably even more subpar products.
Well, and the deal is now what's happened is when you're in a state where it's not regulated, where the FDA has not come down and dropped the gauntlet and said what they're going to demand happens or not happen, then you have no regulation. Then you have really no rules except for the 0.3% THC.
They make sure to enforce that part. I mean, we're all dealing with the with that, you know, but then if it's over 0.3, then people are losing their farms, getting thrown in jail, you know. And
exactly.
Of course, real hard, but everything else, it seems, you know, the everything goes, so.
Right. So we it's really Robert's baby. He did all the work in finding out the correct information, what was working for him, what the biggest pitfalls are in some of the other brands, which was inconsistencies, how one bottle would work and then the very same brand, another bottle wouldn't work the same. So he saw these inconsistencies. He did the research and we partnered with a bioscience lab out of Colorado, and our product is completely seed to sale. So it's all done in one vertical facility, all done here in the United States, all organic, non-detectable THC, which was really important for Robert, not as much for any specific reason for us personally, because we personally do not have any issues with, I believe it's the medicinal purposes of marijuana is, and it's, you know, it's helped an incredible amount of people. And I think the research is continuing to happen. It's going to continue to be positive. But I do think, even though government isn't my favorite, it is important to regulate, because we can't have the rogue people out there. And then we blow the chances for the one time someone tries a bad product, and they're never going to go back.
I hate it.
And we'll never get them back through the door, and we'll never give them that option to feel some relief. So we did our work. It took a good 3.5-4 years of digging and searching and doing the research, and really Robert was the champion of it. But other than that, I stepped up and did, you know, whatever needed to be done, from the logo to the labels to the store. All our boys helped put the store together and paint the walls and spackle and put the flooring in. So it was a family group effort. And, you know, they understood how much that this helped their dad, and they just think it's the coolest. So that's how we started. We finally got an e-commerce site up, so we have our website up, but I truly, truly love being in the store and being able to talk to people and being able to educate them and answer their questions about CBD and the differences of CBD and marijuana. And I'm still getting those questions. I'm still getting, can this make me high? I'm still getting, you know, the very, very basics of CBD. So it's nice to be able to talk and educate people.
Thank you for sharing that story with me. First of all, there's so much value in that story. You know, but you know, the fortitude of your husband and what he's done already, and to obviously see the, no matter how well he's taking care of himself. And I think obviously we talk about CBD and how it's a, you know, kind of a full pronged approach, wellness, right? It serves a purpose, and you have to take care of yourself. It's not something that's going to just take everything on its own. Right.
Right.
But there, you know, you mentioned there, you know, it's funny, not funny at all, but how he's going through this extreme pain, and all of a sudden the doctors want to prescribe these extreme measures, you know, going through these extreme measures right away, right? Now let's try this. Now let's try that. Let's see what this is going. Let's see what that's going. Right away, they want, you know, to mess with his nerve. They want to give him narcotics. And that's no problem, right? So was this something that you also, you know, I know talking to his friend in Colorado, was this something that, you know, I know he did his own research. Was this something that he later on went back to the physician and said, hey, this is something that we want to try. What do you think about this? And if so, what was that reaction?
We did. And it was, unfortunately, it was a very negative reaction. It was a very much, I can't discuss that. Uh-huh. And you know, with Robert being an attorney, there's not a whole lot you can tell him that he doesn't know the letter of the law about. And it was disappointing for him to look at a physician who would suggest putting in a baclofen pump or slicing the nerves in the back of his legs to make his legs floppy. Uh-huh. and yet would agree to do that and not promote something as simple as, you know, even to just be able to say, you know what, I don't know a whole lot about CBD, but I always suggest, I won't suggest for you to try it, but I always suggest that anyone be an advocate and go read about something and do the research, knowing that we wouldn't have taken it, we weren't taking anything lightly. So unfortunately, that was the case with that doctor about 3.5 years ago, 3.5, 4 years ago. I'll tell you now, being in the store, I get so many people coming in saying, my doctor sent me to find a good CBD, is awesome to hear. I know. I'm really, really enjoying that. And for the ones that don't have that to say, that, you know, I've had a few clients say, well, I haven't told my doctor yet. I've asked them if it was okay if I tried it. And the worst that they'll do is maybe roll their eyes, but they'll never tell them, no, don't try it. I haven't had any say that, you know, cause I always suggest that they go talk to their physicians first and ask their physician and make sure that it doesn't coincide with anything. But I am having a lot more positive feedback, especially for the older group, especially for the older people who are coming in saying, you know, my doctor told me I can't continue to take acetaminophen. I can't continue to do this to my liver. I can't continue to take these mass amounts of Advil all the time. So I have to try something. And then I have these young clients, a gentleman who's 26 years old, who was diagnosed with psoriatic arthritis, and his doctor suggested a good CBD and basically on the mere fact that he's 26. He said, if I start one of those larger pharmaceutical drugs right now, what am I going to do by the time I'm 60?
Yeah.
I mean, am I still going to be on them? So it's been a good mix up until for the most of the people coming in. Our experience was not as positive when it comes to the physician part of it. Having said that, since then, with the physician that Robert sees now just for well checkups and physicals, he's a younger doctor, and he's very much is a supporter and positive about it, which is awesome. It's just great.
I love that. You know, the reason why I ask is because it is such a mixed bag, honestly. You know, there's really, you know, I have a great relationship with a lot of doctors, physicians, you know, you name it, homeopathic, you know, Eastern religion or Eastern medicine. There's all kinds of different ways of looking at it. And in Western medicine, you know, it's not cut and dry saying, well, doctors aren't into it. There are people who are. There's people who are spearheading research. And there's people who maybe a few years ago weren't into it, and now they are. You know, so that's why I ask, you know, it's to me, I just want to hear for real, because some people, they go to the doctor and their doctor suggests it, you know, for their child, right? For who's going through, who has other things, you know, PAMS, autism, all kinds. And they go to the doctor, and the doctors now are saying, hey, you should try this out. We're seeing different results. We're seeing, you know, I can't say that, you know, there's not much research, or, you know, what I've seen on the research, and this has been promising. We need more research, but you may want to look into that, you know, as opposed to rolling your eyes or saying, hey, you know what, I can't talk about that. You know,
and absolutely.
I think that's, you know, it's okay to say, I don't know. It's okay to say, I think I don't know is one of the, you know, least used phrases that we could be using in our society in today's day and age. You know, everybody wants to, especially because a physician, we look up to our physician. We want, we honor their opinions. We go to them and we look
for
our health. We trust them, like you said.
Yeah, we trust them. And that's the biggest thing. And I do think, you know, my father, I have a brother-in-law as a physician. My mom's a nurse. My sister's a nurse. And tons of medical in my family. And I think the total consensus is, if you get a physician who looks at you and ever says, I know for sure, and I'm right, and you're wrong, and run away. Yeah. Don't walk, run away. Because it's that physician who's going to really listen and understand that you really, on some level, know more about yourself, or you know more about your child than anything. And I have moms coming in, using my gummies for kids with ADHD, using my gummies for kids, and I guess the gummies for the younger ones is their choice of dispensary for them. But it's amazing to have them come back in going, I feel so much better doing this than I do giving them an Adderall every single day.
Yeah.
And again, not magic. That's not what this is.
Yeah.
It's a paying attention to whatever application that you're wanting to work on and understanding that it could be a mix of two things. You should always talk to your doctor. You should always fill them in. Even if they're negative about it, you still should look at them and say, listen, I need you to understand what I'm doing because I want you to have it in the chart so we can keep up with this, so we can know exactly what's working and what isn't working. And I think that's very, very important. But I have moms just so grateful that this is an option rather than these prescription drugs for these 9-year-old kids. You know, 8-year-old kids. It's, yeah. I mean, I love giving them that option.
We've talked about and it educating on this podcast a lot. You know, I started off 6 years old Ritalin, right? And that wasn't an option back then, right? I mean,
right.
It wasn't an option. And I'm sure my mom would have been very open to that. She was always, they were trying to help me, right?
By sure.
They knew that there was something, you know, for sure, you know, and that's why we're not here to poo-poo pharma, so to speak.
No,
a lot
no.
of chemical imbalances. There's so many different things that people need, you know, pharmaceuticals, and they really are helping people. So it's not that, oh, big pharma, this and that and that. Of course, like, you know, anything can be unregulated, and, you know, power and money and greed, and we talk about that. And that's the main issue, not necessarily the pill, you know, the pill itself. But yeah, you
sure.
know, that wasn't an option back then, right?
Nowadays, no.
That's what I'm using, you know, instead of taking Adderall, which I was taking since I was 6 years old, you know, Ritalin, now I take some tincture, and I can have some of the best days of my life.
Yeah.
You know,
yep.
So, you know, as opposed to, you know, there's also side effects with the pills that were going on. So, so it's really good. Now, I guess, you know, being as how you're in Bernie and mm-hmm. you talked about people are open and people are learning more. Is this something that you're seeing growing? You know, I think also people have a problem. We talked about 4 years ago.
Right.
Talk about, it wasn't legal, you know, now it's federally legal, right? So now
right.
it's something that is an option for people. Whereas before, you know, talking to somebody in Colorado, it probably wasn't easy to get there in Bernie, Texas, correct?
Correct. And the way that we went about it, we've been living in Bernie for 12 years. We've been in the Hill Country for 20 years, but we've been in Bernie specifically for 12 years. And all 5 of our kids are in the Bernie school system. Three of the 5 have already graduated from the high school here. My husband and I have a very good reputation here. And the first thing that we did before we ever even rented the space was we took all of our paperwork, we took all of our lab work, and we took all of our documentation, and we had a meeting with the DA, then we had a meeting with the sheriff, and then we had a meeting with the chief of police. And we did this wanting them to understand exactly what was happening, because at the time, this is only what, 11 months ago? At the time, there was still these random raids of CBD stores and arrests and police taking entire inventory and taking everything out of stores in Dallas. And it happened in Lafayette, Louisiana, and, you know, where I'm from. And that was already happening. And, you know, we are a family of no drama. We don't do drama. Mama don't do any drama. And we don't have time for it, mostly. And I wasn't going to put that, first of all, on the reputation of for my kids to have to endure anything like that. Not to mention, we're doing this so we can earn the trust of people. That's the number one, is to gain the trust and to educate before we do anything. And that's how we went ahead and tackled that situation. So Robert met with the DA, explained everything, the sheriff, the chief of police, and we let them know exactly what they're doing and what we were doing. And, you know, they were not reluctant. I think they were just cautious. They were optimistically cautious. And I believe one of the three of them, I can't remember which one, basically said, well, I got a bottle of it up in my medicine cabinet, so I can't, you know. But we still had to, we had to still tread very, very lightly. And that's how we started our process. That was the first thing we did. And we just built on it from there. And that's what we've done. We've been incredibly transparent this whole, through the whole process, which was, you know, which was our plan, which was exactly how we wanted to do it. And we're continuing that with the lab work that we're getting done and with the self-regulating. We decided, since there is no regulations in Texas, that we're going to go ahead and regulate ourselves, which we have done. We have all of our ISO lab testing work done in the state of Colorado at an ISO registered lab. And we test our finished product. So we have our bulk oil lab testing that has already been done, but then we've also go ahead and test our individual bottles and our individual products. So we feel very strongly about being able to show that to people. And it's mostly because not only are we educating them, number one, on the possible benefits of CBD for them, but then I'm also trying to educate them on, hey, look, we're a family, a CBD family, and I mean the whole CBD community. We're a CBD family. We think that this could possibly help you. So if you don't buy it from us, that's fine, but know what you should be looking for when you do buy it. And this is what you're paying for, and this is why it costs this much. We explain the extraction process. We explain everything that we can, but that's a lot of information for people who are still walking in going, is this going to get me high?
I know, right? Right off the, you know.
And then I have way too much to share. So then, you know, it all comes out at the same time. But those are the most important things to us, is that we really, we can't get them to try it and to take it seriously until we gain their trust. And that's really what we're trying to do with the brick and mortar store.
Amazing. And I was, you know, I love that you guys are there to educate. And, you know, that's part of the problem, right? Is you guys are doing literally, like you said, seed to sale, and that everything, formulation, doing it yourself. And then you have people who hear about it, want to try it out, or iffy about it, and maybe scared to go in the store, and they buy some hemp seed oil, you know, online or something like that. Or then they come in and they say, hey, I tried it before and it didn't work. I guess, you know, what are you guys doing to be out there? I know you said slow and steady, you know, small town. And but what is the are you guys doing to be out there to be able to educate and maybe bring in some people who are iffy, on the fence about it, or maybe had bad experiences with other subpar products? Because obviously, you know, we talk about the problem is the regulation. We don't have that and the ethics and the industry right now, and we're trying to raise all that, obviously. So I guess, what do you guys do there?
Well, we participate in the farmer's market here in Bernie. So we're out of the farmer's market with the all-natural organic community that brings in their products and their crops and things like that, which is great. And we have people come by and stop, and we are out there trying to educate with that. I have a couple of great employees that are the younger generation who can really kind of get on that same level, which they don't have to do as much educating with the people their age, because the people their age already know. Typically, it's the people their age that are coming in talking about the fact how much they love hemp, because now they're big boys and now they have to have a big boy job and they can't use marijuana, but they still love the ritual of it. And I completely respect that aspect. So we're trying to get out there. We're in the farmer's market. We've done some charity events and things like that, so we can be there to answer questions, but we're still trying to feel our way into, you know, it's a slippery slope with, I don't want to put ourselves in the same category, because I do have people coming in going, I don't understand. I found a 25 milligram gummy at the Shell station. And why is yours so expensive when, you know, this one isn't? And I want to be careful not to put ourselves into those categories, because I do believe it starts to degrade the product a bit when you try and put it in some of these public areas that they're not prepared to really learn about it like they should. So we're, again, low and steady. I wish we could just blast it out there, but honestly, the budget for advertising isn't as big as I'd want it to be right now. So that's our slow and steady. We're sending our emails to our clients that we have, that we've gathered through walking through the store. And we're just trying to get people walking in, and we're really trying to educate ourselves and do this slow and steady.
Yeah. You know, I think, you know, educating people, I'd love if someone came up to me and they said, why is your gummy so expensive as opposed to the one at the gas store? I'd be like, well, you know, do you go to, you know, to the guy on the street for medicine, or you go to the doctor, right? And, you know, who do you go to ask for advice? You know, do you think we're gonna have better products in the gasoline station? You know, so it's, you know, it's, I think, like you said, sometimes people are exposed to the wrong thing, and it's just a matter of being able to educate them and bring them back and show them why this doesn't give it a chance.
Right. And that's, you said this, the hemp seed oil. I have tons of people walking in with their little bottles, and they all bring their, you know, different bottles of what they've tried that they didn't feel like worked for them. Or they'll say, it kind of worked, but I'm not real sure. And they'll show me the bottle, and I'll say, okay, number one, you know, your CBD product really and truly shouldn't have more than three or four ingredients in it. Period. There's really no reason for it to have more than three or four ingredients in it. That's first off. Secondly, you got to be careful and read the fine print. If it's hemp seed oil, that means that they extracted oil from the actual seeds. They didn't allow the plant to grow and extract the oil from the whole plant. And so they're like, oh, well, that makes sense. It's kind of funny to see the aha moments on their face. And then, you know, we have tons of educational material in our store, which cracked me up, because my husband, being the attorney that he is, everything we have is all PubMed peer-reviewed articles that are admissible in a court of law. And every poster we have is from the National Library of Medicine, because we wanted it to be this factual evidence. We wanted people to understand that, you know, these aren't just pretty posters that we found on the internet to try and teach you about this. This is, you know, this is from the National Library of Medicine. These are factual PubMed articles that are peer reviewed. We could walk into a courtroom with them, and the judge would have to let the jury see them. So we have all that educational material there at the store, so we can really show people. But it's a lot of information. It's a lot of information for you and I, and we still know all of this stuff. So I'm still trying to find my way on how much to share and what it is they're really wanting to know, and not just what they want to hear.
Yeah, it's definitely tough. It's definitely tough. But, you know, I think people are becoming more open to it, obviously. And I guess, you know, what's been the biggest obstacle? You know, you talk about education, you know, we talk about all the regulation stuff and formulation. What's been the biggest obstacle you faced as a business? How have you guys been able to overcome it?
I guess the biggest obstacle has really been the research and the continued research to stay up with what's happening every month, and to keep reading on what's happening every month, because our biggest thing is wanting to keep our product consistent, which is some of the things that we see about the inconsistency. And there's so many things changing with now people isolating the CBG and really wanting to put that out there and offer that. And we want to do that, but you know, there's something to be said for doing something and doing it well, doing one thing and doing it well. And that's tough for Robert and I, because we do everything ourselves. And so it's really important for us to not step out there just because it's the new popular thing. Yeah. You know, it's treading lightly and being educated enough to where we can explain it and we can offer it in a way that is, you know, is smart and educational. And for the young folks, it's been a breeze. It's been awesome. And the only thing I wish is I could sell it to them cheaper. And we're trying to do that really hard. I know there's been a lot of talk about the anticipation of the bubble, the hemp bubble bursting with mm-hmm. the mass amounts of product out there that's available. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we think we'll be able to weather that storm. Mm-hmm. And I'm frankly excited for it because, you know, I'm obviously might not be the best business owner on the planet, but I'm excited to offer something that is more affordable because it's tough. It's, you know, we looked at our numbers and, you know, we give an enormous amount of discounts. We mm-hmm. have 25% discounts for seniors, for military dependents, for college students. Mm-hmm. We give 25% discount. We give 25% discounts to all of military dependents, no matter if it's their dad, their brother, or anything like that. So we're trying desperately to make it as affordable as we can to offer it to them, but then also for us, because I do see the young people, and with five kids, that's really important to us, is that these kids, you know, if they're coming in, I say kids, I mean the ages from 20 to 30 and a little further than that, for them to come in and try something that isn't as harmful as some of the self-medicating products that they're using out there, the self-medicating pharmaceuticals that they're using right now, if they can come in and possibly, you know, want to try something a little more safe, then we're all about it. We're all about it. And I don't want to price anyone out. So I'm hoping that happens. That's been a huge obstacle as I want to, you know, I want to offer it for less.
Yeah, it's definitely tough. And I mean, yeah, you know, I think we talk about the bubble popping and, you know, and the excitement for this thing and that thing. Of course, we always want to see more research. We want to see more progress. Then sometimes it's just becomes like the flavor of the month. You know, we're all CBG. Listen, it's not that it's the flavor of the month, so to speak. It's the fact that, yeah, we're finding more research of the benefits of it and how it affects people differently. And correct. How, you know, so that's exciting. But to right. say something's completely done, you know, like you said, I think, I think a big issue for people is the price. You know, so it's definitely tough because we're still waiting on the FDA, right? As soon as they can find a way to get their buddies and the pharmaceuticals going, then I guarantee you there's going to be ways for the insurance companies, going back full circle with the insurance companies, you know, and making sure everybody's getting their cut. Then yeah. stuff really, you know, being able to subsidize that as well. But it's unfortunate. That definitely is unfortunate. I know that's a barrier for a lot of people. And that's even for people to get their regular medicine, right? Things, you know, it's totally. You know.
Sure. Well, or even worse, it's, you know, it's $11 for them to get a antidepressant medication filled for yeah. a month. And, you know, then they're turning around and buying the tincture. And, it's tough to look at them and say, you know, I know it's more, but you have to understand about the cleanliness of the product, and you want to get the one with the no pesticides, and all of this takes an enormous amount of time, and this is why it costs how much it costs. But if you just give this a chance, it could possibly help you figure out what's going on with you rather than just taking the antidepressant. Mm-hmm. And again, I will say it every time I do talk about those, I'm not saying that's not necessary and that that's not a good choice for some people. I'm simply saying when people are looking for other options, other healthier options, either to work with another medication or to just try and take less of it, in my mind, is a better choice than not doing anything at all.
Yeah, the long-term benefits, obviously, and you know, like we said, comes with everything. You know, it's people just want to take their pill, and you know, McDonald's is cheaper too. McDonald's is cheaper than salad as well. You know, and obviously, you know, getting GMO products is a lot cheaper than getting organic and different options as well. So it's a matter of being able to invest in ourselves, you know, as opposed to investing in other things that we're using to self-medicate, I think sometimes because we're not seeing the benefits, we're not seeing the emotional side, the things that we help with. You know, it's about weighing the cost as well.
It's about giving people the hope and the drive and making them try and understand that anything worth doing really does. It really doesn't happen overnight. Anything worth doing good really doesn't happen overnight. It takes time. It takes effort. It takes patience. And I think people don't feel like they're worth it. And frankly, that goes to a whole nother realm.
Level that in societal problem that we have as well. And, you know, humanistic problem as well. Seeing as how you've had so much success, just, you know, as a mother, as a wife, and seeing your business growing, you know, I always ask everybody, you know, how do you define success, whether professionally, personally, existentially? What does success look like for you?
That's a no-brainer answer. Success for me is, you know, being a good wife, being a good mom, helping people. That's my success. If I can help anyone, if I can give anyone the hope, even if I can just make someone smile that day, it means everything. It means everything. So that's what drives me. I should probably be looking at other things.
Why? Look, you're happy, you're successful, you have kids, great kids, you know, so I know we were talking off the air too, you know, how we help you, and this has all been a family effort, you know, so it's amazing. You know, it's not an easy place these days to raise kids, to raise a family. And I think it starts, honestly, you know, we can play the blame game and this and that, but I think a lot of things start in the home. I was always taught that the fish rots from the head, you know? So it's the parents don't have their stuff together. I think other things, so you say maybe, you know, it seems like it's working for you. You know, you're putting your family first and putting others first and being willing to, you know, to want to put smiles on people's faces. I think we're missing that a lot in society, to be honest with you. So I hear a lot of times, you know, not a lot. We get good people on the show, so we don't hear it so much, but every once in a while you get the yacht answer, and there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with having a yacht, and there's nothing wrong with having there's nothing, you know, all that. But I think the driving force of what is it that motivates us, that gets out in the morning, I think it has to be something internal, like you said, that we're getting value and joy out of the process in one way or another.
Well, when you fast forward through life, and you kind of try and look to the future anytime you're making a decision, any kind of life decision, it's really easy to just be so overwhelmed with all the different possibilities. And really, when it comes down to it, when we had kids, you decide to have a child, and you know right then and there, this child has to come first. I mean, this is what you do. That they didn't ask to be brought here. You brought them here. So now they're your responsibility. And then you take that and you look at them and you say, do I prepare them to be great at school and to make straight A's and to go out and get a medical degree and be a, you know, successful doctor? Or do I push them in sports and hope that they can, you know, be part of the NFL and sign a $13 million contract and do that? And all these things start going through your head. And at the end of the day, you sit back and you think, gosh, or do you just want them to have a good heart and to be kind to people?
Yep.
And everything else will flow from that. Everything else will flow from that. Being kind. That doesn't mean letting people walk all over you.
No, of course not. Of course not.
That doesn't mean falling down. It means listening, using your words, using your head, and being kind. And don't say something because it's easy to say it over a text. Pretend like you're looking at another human being's face and know that that's, you're going to have to answer for that in your own mind, in your own conscience. So that's kind of what we did with our kids, having a dad who's handicapped, and, you know, he's a huge minority. He just happens to be super handsome and super smart, which doesn't hurt his cause, but he's a paraplegic in a wheelchair, and he is conscious of it every day, the way that other people look at him, the way that other men look at him, the way that a client looks at him. It's not like he says it on the phone to a client and then they come in and see he's in a wheelchair. And he becomes a bigger impact than he knows because he's so incredibly strong. And I think our kids saw that. And I think they kind of went from there as well. And the kindness and the goodness and the being fair and honest and having character. And then everything kind of comes from that. And if we had to pick a motto for our business, it's just an extension. It's just an extension of our family and our experience and you know, the little that we can offer.
Wow, incredible. And thank you so much for sharing this. And, you know, very powerful, very powerful family. And what you guys are doing is incredible. You know, you can say the fish rots from the head, but it also, everything starts from the top, you know, so you instill that in your kids and creating a great generation, you know, and that's something that we're missing.
I hope so. That was a big goal. I'm not going to say the word on air, but I will say to raise a generation that weren't not good people was definitely not our goal.
Yeah.
To put a generation out there that were kind and good. That was our goal.
Okay.
That was our goal. And they're lovely. So they're not perfect, but they're lovely.
Yes. Well, as we close, how can our listeners find out more about you, about Fleur Botanicals, what you guys are doing, and connect with you?
Well, they can find us online. It's fleurbotanicals.com. That's FLEURBOTANICALS, fleurbotanicals.com. And they'll see Robert's story and learn more about us and where we're located in Burney. We have our e-commerce with our free shipping. And we're constantly trying to send out coupons and percents off and anything that can help someone really start to try and improve their lives through the possible benefits of CBD and their journey. So they can give us a phone call. Our phone number is online, and me or Joseph or Margaret are so happy and willing to talk to anyone about how they want to try it or if they want to start trying it, and to try and, you know, educate them on how they should start that journey.
Very good. I really appreciate you. Thank you so much for jumping on with me today. Good luck
Absolutely,
to you.
Absolutely, Maynard. Good
just
luck to you.
Just with the family, you know, so good luck to you. And
well, thank you very much, and good luck to you too. It was a pleasure.
Thank you so much, Ramon. We at Calican are passionate about cannabis marketing, branding, and web design. If you're a cannabis entrepreneur and you know you need an uptake in business or an upgrade in the way your customers perceive you, come check us out at calican.com and schedule a time to speak with us. Plans start at $248. Thanks for listening in to Dank Discussions, and we are so grateful for each and every one of you. We want to continue making dank content you want, so give us some feedback about the topics you want covered. Feel free to reach out to us at grow@calican.com. That's CALACANN.com. And follow us on Instagram for our latest updates.